from the Star Rentals Sports Desk, your 93.3 KJR-FM Sports Headlines.
All righty, boys and girls, here we go. Headlines on a gorgeous Tuesday afternoon right here on Softy and Dick. Headlines are brought to you by our friends at VenueKings.com.
Make sense of this. Yeah. How amazing was that?
That guy right there tomorrow. I'm surprised he's even upright, for God's sakes. He's been given an extra half hour of pregame tomorrow because we have the mock draft on the FM side and then Kraken at 6:30. He's going to host an hour-long epic pregame show before the Sounders and Pumas in leg one of the CONCACAF Champions League final tomorrow in Mexico City. So we got mock draft and hockey on FM, and we got soccer pregame and the kickoff at 7:30 over on AM tomorrow with Jackson Phelps leading it off.
You should have seen how excited this young man was. I was there.
Oh, yeah.
I witnessed Rich Moore give him the permission
like
to do 30 extra minutes, and you would have thought Christmas was going to come every day for year for Jackson
Phelps. Was it like Kip Dynamite when he went, yes?
It was...
Pumped his fist up in the
air.
If you want to go see Paul McCartney next week, Monday, Venue Kings can get you there for $91. Tuesday night, $102 at VenueKings.com. Be sure and use code SOFTY at checkout for a little bit of a discount. Well, NBA basketball, Boston has swept the Brooklyn Nets. Toronto evens things up with the 76ers yesterday, or looks to even things up. Wait, is that 3-1 or 3-2? Where's that series?
Which one?
The Toronto-Philadelphia
that
series.
That is 3-2.
3-2, thank you. Toronto pulls it within one game. I'm all messed up right now. Dallas leading Utah 3-2 after a 102-77 pounding last night. And tonight, Chicago-Milwaukee Bucks look to close out that series, and Golden State looks to close out Denver at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, and an injury in that Heat series as well. Jimmy Butler out with knee inflammation tonight. So the best player for the number one seed. Good thing you got Atlanta plus 7, because now
you don't say
half that.
How about that?
Phoenix coach Monty Williams has been fined $15,000 for public criticism of the officials following their Game 4 loss in New Orleans.
Doesn't care. He makes about $6 gajillion an hour. Baseball, Scott Service is back. He'll manage the team at Tampa Bay tonight. Mariners at the Rays, game 1 of 3. Logan Gilbert versus Matt Whistler to start this thing. No Haniger, no Seawald out again tonight, but could play tomorrow, but no timeline yet on their return.
Jets have picked up fifth-year option on defensive tackle Quinnen Williams. Panthers have done the same with Brian Burns. And Geno Smith's deal is now official. Remember, it was official last week, then it wasn't official.
What happened?
Now it's official. Okay. One-year deal where if he makes the roster and is active, he will make $3.5 million.
Wow, good for him. Pete
good
Carroll
gig.
Helped him out, though, by the way, by talking about him being a starting quarterback. Yeah. So he should probably take Pete to Sizzler, or at least buy him an Arby's or something. Kraken, 4 games left. The countdown starts tonight at Vancouver, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock face-off right here on Sports Radio, 93.3 KJR-FM.
And here we go.
And now, two goofy, wacko, out-of-touch homers.
Just brutal radio. Just horrible.
Live.
41 yards.
From Elliott Bay.
Can you feel it now?
This is Softy and Dick.
All right, everything's all out of whack because of the draft week. Mike Florio, who normally joins us on Wednesday. He will join us today at 3:10 on the program, courtesy of our friends at VenueKings.com. Whatever your ticket needs are, check out VenueKings.com. We'll have Brett Boone, who would normally be with us on Thursday, but the draft starts at 5 o'clock, is that right, Thursday night for the Jaguars on the clock? Brett Boone normally does 5 o'clock with us, is that right, on Thursday? So, I don't know, having him on right in the middle of the... You know what? The draft can wait. We're going to talk baseball. That would take some balls to do that. And nobody here has balls that big, at least not me on the radio station. So, Brett Boone will join us today at 3:30 and talk about the Mariners starting their 9-game road trip at Tampa today. We'll have our Softy, Dickie, Feltsy, Mini Mock. We'll wrap it up with Pauly DiTino, who was on Friday with you guys.
Yep.
He's back today to make the pick for the Giants at number 7. John Michaels, our pal from Atlanta, will make the pick for the Falcons at number 8. And then we can spend some time in the 5 o'clock hour talking about the first 8 picks that went before the Seahawks are on the clock at number 9. John Wilner will join us. He's been off the last couple weeks traveling around the world. He will join us and talk about what's happening with this NIL thing. And then Brian Schmetzer apparently is in Mexico City As we speak, getting ready for Pumas tomorrow in leg one. He will join us on the radio show at 5:45. And then really the guest that maybe tops everything off, Mike Bunton from Network Central, will join us on the air at 6:10 from the 32 Bar and Grill before the Kraken take on Vancouver. Coming up pregame 6:30, face-off 7 o'clock tonight right here on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM. And look, I mean, I thought Daniel Jeremiah laid it out perfectly yesterday about kind of what you're rooting for if you're a Seahawks fan in the draft on Thursday. And I don't know about you, and maybe it's just because we're getting closer. I started to kind of get a little more fired up for Thursday and what the Hawks could be all about. But I thought Daniel Jeremiah gave everybody a really simple thing to watch in regards to the Seahawks and what we should be rooting for if you're one of these people that want to see the Seahawks trade down and stockpile more picks. Daniel Jeremiah yesterday laid out exactly what you're looking for.
You want the Jets to stay at 4 with their first pick and take anything other than a wide receiver. You want them to take Sauce Gardner. You want them to take Ikem Ekwonu. You want them to take, you know, one of the edge rushers, whether that's Walker or Jermaine Johnson, whoever.
Yep.
You just do not want to see the Jets take a wideout at 4, because if they pass on a wideout at 4, the whole league has a mark on them and feels like they're taking a wideout at 10, which is going to make number 9 a very attractive pick for teams picking a few spots down that are wideout teams. And those are Houston, I was told, loves Garrett Wilson. They're at 13.
Okay.
You have the Eagles, who have 2 picks in the teens, and you have the Saints, who have 2 picks in the teens. Those are wideout teams. So you're going to have a market there for number 9 if the Jets pass on a wideout at 4.
Okay, so real easy. And again, this is not an exact science, right? Obviously, it may come down like that, but somebody may, you know, the Jets may decide they want to do something else. Maybe they trade up, for God's sakes. I have no idea. But if the theory is pretty simple, right, Dick, that if the Jets take somebody else besides a wide receiver at 4, they need a wide receiver at number 10, and that means you can, if you trade up and grab the Hawks pick at number 9, you'll have your pick of every other position on the board besides wide receiver. You know, I sent that tweet out yesterday about what Daniel said about number 9 being the most attractive spot to trade down, and I think people misunderstood from the context of the tweet, and that's my fault, and that's fine, that we're talking about the Seahawks wanting to trade down, being the one team that does want to trade down, which is kind of obvious that everybody assumes the Hawks want to trade down. Who knows? Maybe they shock the world and trade up. The deal is that that spot, what Daniel's telling you, is if the Jets take anything but a wide receiver at number 4, all of a sudden number 9 becomes an unbelievably attractive spot for everybody else to trade into.
Yes.
That's the difference.
And I'm always a trade down guy, because I think I trust John Schneider's ability later on in the draft more than I trust his ability higher in the draft.
Wow.
And I think he's proven that. I mean, he's proven that the times, however, I will say the times that he has traded up, Tyler Lockett.
Right.
DK Metcalf.
Absolutely.
The times he has traded up, he has known exactly which guy he wants, and he knows that guy will work, and he bats pretty well. I don't think that's going to happen
here. Let me ask you something, though, because you said that you trust John Schneider and, I guess, Pete Carroll later on in the draft than you do more with that first-round pick, correct? Are we talking about that one pick versus the rest of the draft? Because there's more opportunities, obviously, later in the draft to hit a home run. Right? Because you got more picks. We're talking about comparing one pick in one round to everything else they do later in the draft. Or is it just that first round pick versus maybe like a fifth round pick or a sixth round pick?
No, I think when they have that first round pick and they don't trade out of it, they seem to go after guys that are maybe high on their board, but no one else's board.
Of course.
You know, it's like the James Carpenter. It's the Jermaine Ifedi. It's the LJ Collier. It's the Rashad Penny. It's those guys that you look at every single mock draft out there. Yeah. And I'm not saying the mockers are smarter than Schneider, but every single mock draft out there had those four players way lower than where Seattle took him. And we just kind of, at the time, had to trust John Schneider and say, okay, John knows more than these other guys do. Let's go for it. And those guys did not work out. He's got a better track record of working out later on down the line in the draft, and because he doesn't take what the mockers say he should take between 25 and 32.
Well, I mean, but isn't that the way that you want it, though? If you're going to pay a guy to be your GM, and pay a guy to be your head coach and pay a guy to be your talent evaluators, then they should be the ones to decide who's on their board, not some moron sitting in his basement somewhere, right? Or guys like you and me. All right, we'll talk about that a lot today. We'll have our Softy Dickie Feltsy mini mock wrap it up with picks 7 and 8 at 4:10, but it's time to get to Mike Florio right now.
It's time for our weekly conversation with Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio. Brought to you by Simply Seattle. Tired of buying and repping the same old Seattle sports gear everyone else has? For the best Storm, Seahawks, Mariners, Kraken, Rainiers, Sounders, and not to mention the largest Sonics collection in the world, check out SimplySeattle.com. Now with Mike Florio, here's Softy and Dick.
All right, here we go. Big thanks to our friends at SimplySeattle.com. They have some new pilot gear, as in Seattle pilot gear,
really?
That came out today. So you want to buy your pops maybe some pilot gear for Father's Day?
I wonder if he ever went to a pilot game.
Sure
I should ask
did.
Him if he went to a pilot
I'm
game.
I'm sure he
year.
Did, and he could lie to you. You'd never know, by the
never
way. You can use code SOFTYSONICS at checkout, by the way, for a discount. 20% off everything on the website through April at SimplySeattle.com. Well, here he is, the king of all NFL media, baby. ProFootballTalk.com, NFL on NBC. It's our friend Michael Florio. How are you, pal?
You weren't supposed to call me until tomorrow. What's going on?
That's why I texted you 5 times today.
That was you?
Yeah, that was me.
Oh.
You took my name out of your phone, didn't you?
It was never in my phone. Trick question.
You know, every day I talk to you, I can just feel the love and the friendship coming through the phone.
That's good. Hey, Dick, did he give you a copy of the book, or did he sell it on eBay for $2?
He actually gave me a copy of the book. So
Did he forge my signature on it and tell you that he got it autographed for you?
He did, and he also forced me to pay $5 for the book, so
that's
he
right.
still made a profit.
I want my money back, damn it. Hey, put your handicapping hat on for a second. This is kind of a wide-open draft, and really at the top in a lot of ways, I can get even money on Aiden Hutchinson. I'm paying -180 for Trayvon Walker, +800 for Ekwonu. What do you think the Jaguars do tomorrow, or on Thursday, excuse me?
You know, we're doing our mock draft now, and my mock draft, first of all, I hate mock drafts, and I know that the justification is it creates a framework within which to have a discussion. Well, how lazy are you that that's your framework for having a discussion? And I know you're doing one tomorrow night, which is why you bumped me tonight, but there are other ways to have a discussion about the draft. We don't need to say, well, we're going to have a mock draft. The mock draft that I have somebody who's not connected to PFT, somebody who knows these things very well, somebody who follows it closely, Evan Neal is the name that's going to be at the top of ours, a little preview for you. So the Jaguars reportedly are thinking about surprising folks. Evan Neal would be a surprise. They're down to 4 guys. I assume it's Walker, Hutchinson, Ike Ekwonu, and Evan Neal. Mm. And, hey, you got to protect your investment in the number 1 overall pick from last year. You got to get the most out of Trevor Lawrence. And a pass blocker is going to do that. So don't be surprised if they go Ekwonu or Neal. And, you know, hey, again, if I'm going to trust this person and post the draft the way it's put together, I'm not going to change it, even though I'm tempted to. We'll go Evan Neal and see what happens.
Mike, you put Twitter ablaze over the last week or so with a couple comments. I want you to kind of elaborate on both. The first one was you want appearance fees for players at the draft, and the second one was you think the draft is un-American. Go.
Well, as to the first one, does anyone who's working for NFL Network or ESPN do it for free when they go to the draft and they're part of the coverage?
No.
Rich Eisen, Mike Greenberg, any of the people, are they all getting paid or are they doing it for free?
They're getting paid.
Right? Or are they just, you know, and we're paying for your hotel and you can bring your family. They're still getting paid.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
These guys are props. They are organic props in the NFL's ultimate reality show. Think about the draft. What is the draft? It's not a sporting event. It's a meeting. You don't need to have this draft. In today's technology-driven world, they could do this by group text. It would be a hell of a lot more efficient. Think about it. You got 32 GMs and the league office looped in. And you send out the text. All right, Jaguars are on the clock. You got 10 minutes. And Trent Baalke eventually texts his pick in. And then the next guy's up. Second overall pick, Brad Holmes, Lions GM. Go. You could do it that way. But they've turned it into a TV show. They've turned it into a spectacle. And they want these guys there to make it more compelling. Because they want those guys to walk out and give the commissioner a bear hug. Because it's the one day of the year that he comes off like an actual human being. So why shouldn't they be paid to be there? Why shouldn't they be compensated? They've been working for free ever since, well, really, from the moment they started playing football, although there's no market for their services in high school, some minor amount depending upon where you go, but college level, they're not getting paid. They go to the combine, the NFL benefits from their involvement in a TV show that they make out of it. They don't get paid for that. They should get paid. And I think that collectively the agent should say, we're not going to send any of these guys unless they're getting an appearance fee. And that dovetails with my take on the draft. I don't like the idea that 32 independent businesses can come together and decide where guys are going to work. Maybe a guy doesn't want to move from Seattle to Miami. Maybe he doesn't want to go work for a dysfunctional mess of a team like the Washington Commanders. Maybe he doesn't want to work for a coaching staff that has a track record of not developing quarterbacks if that's the position he plays. Maybe he doesn't want to be caught in a web of dysfunction in Green Bay. You know, Jordan Love, do you think Jordan Love would have gone to the Packers if he had a choice to go to the Packers? He's the only guy I feel sorry for over the past 2 years of that mess that they've had with Aaron Rodgers, because he's the only one who didn't choose to be part of it. Everybody else has chosen to be part of it. So I'm a firm believer. And, you know, look, I get the, well, if you don't like it, go cover a different sport. All right, fine, fine. That's always a useful conversation starter. The bottom line is you can love the NFL and strive for ways to make it better. And I think they could get rid of the draft. They should get rid of the draft. They won't get rid of the draft. It's too big to go away at this point, because whatever they would replace it with, they would not be able to capture the moment the way they do on Thursday night. And we all love it, but it's okay to love it and say, there's something about it that doesn't sit well with me. And if I had a kid who, you know, grew up wanting to play for the Steelers, and I wanted him to be an hour and a half away from where I live, and they had a need and they wanted him, but they just weren't able to get him because somebody else cut the line and now he's got to go to L.A., and live there, I'd be unhappy about that. I'd want my kid to have the right to choose where he works, where he lives, where he does, what he's great at doing. So that's the genesis of a position I've had for years now. It's just becoming, I guess, a bigger deal because I put it in that book that you guys bought, that Softy bought when he found it for the cheapest possible price on Amazon.
Well, here's what I would say to all that. You don't like it, go cover something else.
Yeah, thanks.
That's what I would say. Hey, John Lynch says he can't ever imagine wanting to move on from Debo. Wanting to move on and having no choice to move on are two different things. So let me ask you this. Come Monday, will Baker Mayfield be a Brown? Will Debo Samuel be a Niner? Any of these wide receivers looking for big contracts, will we see any trade involving a big name like that this week?
Well, I think we have to pay attention to it, because the 49ers didn't close the door the way the Cardinals did last week on Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray was making noise about whatever it was he was looking for. Steve Kime, the GM of the Cardinals, comes out and says, there is zero chance we trade Kyler Murray. That's how you do it, folks. You don't say we have no intention to trade Russell Wilson. You say we have zero chance of trading Kyler Murray, and that slammed that door. Yesterday, John Lynch, the GM of the 49ers, did not slam the door. He made it clear that they'll listen to offers on just about anyone. Of course they'll listen to offers. The question is, will someone blow them away? And if they don't, I think they hope that the passage of time can maybe fix this. Until we know what the issue is between Debo Samuel and the 49ers, it's impossible to know whether or not it can be fixed. But I still fault them at some level for letting it get to this point. Whatever it is, and there may be more than one reason, but whatever has caused Debo Samuel to cross that bridge where he's done with the 49ers, there is fault at some level on the part of the team. And maybe we'll find out what it is. Maybe we won't. So there's a chance he'll be gone. There's a chance Baker Mayfield gets traded if a team like the Panthers doesn't emerge from round one with a quarterback, or the Falcons don't draft a quarterback, or the Saints don't draft a quarterback. I think that's when the Browns may have an opening. If one of these teams that still needs a quarterback and wants a quarterback doesn't get the guy that they want in round one or two, then that's when you boomerang back around to Baker Mayfield, and the Seahawks could be the team that still ends up getting him.
What's Garoppolo's injury situation, and does his injury help or hurt the Niners if they want to cut him?
Well, he had shoulder surgery that he didn't tell the team about when the surgery happened. He went and did it on his own. He's got a $7.5 million partial guarantee for injury. So if they cut him now before he passes a physical, they're potentially on the hook for $7.5 million if he's not able to play this year. I don't think it's going to get to the point where he's not able to play this year. I think if they would cut him, he would get signed by somebody else, and he would make more than $7.5 million, and that would be fine. I think they want to squat on him long enough to maybe trade for him, and they're perplexed by the fact that they don't want the guy, but no one else does either. And I made the example today on PFT Live. It's like we moved into a house and the roof is leaking and the toilets never work and we just have to get out of here. But boy, we hope somebody else pays us top dollar for this house. We've already bought another house and we're ready to move into it and we can't wait to move into it. But first we have to sell this one. Why doesn't anybody want it? Well, we don't want it, but why does nobody else want it? It's just weird. The 49ers have this weird stubbornness to them about various things, and I'm sure Seahawks fans are upset to hear this, but I said earlier today, during the season, the 49ers have their act together. It's like in the offseason, they lose their minds, and they do dumb things. They didn't look at Patrick Mahomes in 2017 because they thought they were getting Kirk Cousins a year later. They said no to Tom Brady in 2020. Last year, they freak out, and they give up all those draft assets to go get Trey Lance. Who the hell knows what he's going to be? And now they have Deebo Samuel pissed off to the point where he wants to leave. And who knows? Maybe they're going to piss off Nick Bosa, too. And they're squatting on Jimmy Garoppolo and the $25 million cap number he's got. That money could be used to make Samuel and Bosa happy. It's just a weird organization away from football season. During football season, they're great. Away from football season, they lose their minds and they have no idea how to find it.
Hey, Mike, before you go, quickly, I believe the fifth-year option deadline is next week.
May 3,
so Tuesday. Will the Cardinals pick up the $29 million on Kyler Murray?
Why wouldn't they?
I think they will. I'm just asking you.
Yeah, they will. They will. The real question is Daniel Jones and the Giants. It's $22 million for him, and they praise the guy, and they say they're going to build the offense around him, and then they say, well, you know, we'll decide about the fifth-year option based upon what we see during the early stages of the offseason program. Well, they still haven't picked it up. And it becomes fully guaranteed the moment you pick it up. So there's reason to wait as long as possible. I remember when this phenomenon first started, I had an agent tell me that no team will ever pick it up before the final day because it becomes guaranteed for injury. Now it's fully guaranteed. But teams do pick it up in advance, and I'm sure that the Cardinals will pick it up on Kyler Murray, and they'll try to work something out with him this summer on a long-term deal.
Yeah, Michael, great stuff. Enjoy the draft, and we will talk in a week, buddy. Thank you, pal.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Mike Florio with us. We're going to shift gears to baseball. I want to come back and talk about his take on the draft, by the way, later on today on the radio show. Remind me to do that, will you, later on today, because I'll forget for sure.
I'll do it.
Baseball with Booney, with Brett Boone, courtesy of VenueKings.com. Is he buying what the M's are selling so far after 16? Next on Softy and Dick on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR-FM.
Coming to you live from our Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio 93.3 KJR-FM. It's time for our weekly conversation with former Mariners All-Star Brett Boone. Brought to you by Venue Kings. Visit VenueKings.com for all your ticket needs. Now with Booney, here's Softy and Dick.
All right, boys and girls, it's that time of the week. Actually, that time of the week is normally on Thursdays at 5 o'clock, but because of the draft, damn them. On Thursday, we're moving baseball with Booney, courtesy of VenueKings.com, to today, $91 to go see Paul McCartney on Monday night at Climate Pledge Arena. See a living legend for under $100. Sounds good to me. But speaking of living legends, that's the way this guy now wants to be introduced.
Was that right?
Yeah, Brett texted me this morning and said, hey, I'll keep doing your stupid radio show as long as you refer to me as a living legend. So here he is, the living legend himself.
Well, there you go, Booney.
Brett Boone. How are you, pal?
I'm doing good, guys. What's happening?
Well, we're fired up, man.
We're in first place, Booney.
Yeah, the M's.
We're in first place,
M's
baby.
M's are 10-6, have the same record after 16 games a year ago, but this 10-6 kind of feels and looks a little different, huh?
It definitely does. There's a difference. There's a presence about it. Now, I'm cautiously optimistic. But really good start for these guys, you know. And he had a couple tests with the White Sox, a good team. Houston lost one of the series, won one of the series. And Texas, you know, they go 2-1 and they sweep Kansas City like good teams are supposed to do. So I expect Kansas City, when they come in, to sweep. Be disappointed if you don't sweep them. But, I couldn't be happier with this start. And what I'm seeing is, you know, we talked about it last week. I think they've closed the gap on Houston. Houston's off to a little bit of a rocky start, but I'm excited. They're, you know, 39 home runs last year with Haniger hasn't even been in the lineup. From what I'm hearing, he's going to be back possibly tomorrow. So you've been doing all this and all this excitement around this ball club, and still kind of the face of that team hasn't been out there. So it'll be good to see him back too.
You're exactly right. The new face of this team, at least the face of this offense right now, is your American League co-player of the week. Should have been player of the week, not just co-player of the week. But how much sample size do we need before we can declare Ty France as a top-notch hitter in this league?
Mr. France, what a week. Hit 500. And I always laugh when they refer to it as and he picked up his first five-hit game. Well, I've played 14 years, and guess how many I have?
None.
Zero.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm still going to – more impressively, how many does Edgar Martinez have?
How many?
So I always laugh when they say, and he picked up his first five-hit game. I'm like, I'm so waiting.
Wait a minute. Whoa. Time out, because you teased us on that Edgar trivia.
His phone broke up.
And your phone broke up right when you were answering. So how many five-hit games did Edgar Martinez have?
Zero.
Okay,
wow.
There you go. All
wow.
Right.
That's what we figured.
That's
you
why
said.
I laugh when it's always their first. Like, oh, I'm still waiting for my first. Like, oh, ho hum. It'll come sometime in August.
Right. Like,
wow, what a week though. You know, he's got five homers. I think he's leading the league in ribbies. Just another bright spot on this team. You know, and Winker hasn't got hot yet. He's taking his walks right now. But that swing is gonna come with time.
Well, Brett Boone is with us, who never had a five-hit game in his life, by the way. So if you have one, embrace it.
I tried really hard.
I know you did. Really I know hard. You did. Well, Julio Rodriguez on Saturday had a bases-loaded walk, finally got a call from an umpire, and I wonder his approach at the plate. If you were to talk to Julio, would you tell him, hey, just continue doing exactly what you're doing? Eventually these umpires will come around like they came around Saturday, or is there some other advice there for him?
You got to keep your head down and keep grinding. It's, I just have a hard time, and I have watched Julio's a decent amount of his at bats this year. And yeah, he has gotten a lot of bad calls, not only questionable calls, but bad calls. In this day and era, 2022, it's really tough for me to believe that these umpires got together and said, hey, let's get that Rodriguez kid from Seattle. I really have a tough time, buying into that. These guys are so scrutinized now, these umpires, with daily. You have somebody up in that booth, someone in New York, each and every day analyzing all the umpires. And I just don't think that's the case. But I've watched a lot of his at-bats, and some of the strikes, I just go, wow. You know, I'd be starting to second-guess myself as a hitter, too, going, really, what is it me? Am I doing something wrong? I don't think it's that at all. I just don't think that happens today. So many rookies, you know, and we watched the game today. There's so much, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? Showmanship out there that I don't just think they hone in on one rookie and say, oh, we're going to stick it to him. That did happen back in the day. You had to kind of earn your stripes. But I don't see that happening. That being said, yes, a lot of bad luck early. Still, I look at these numbers, you know, and he's young and he's a talented kid. You know, you look at his minor league body of work and a really good hitter. I just look coming out of the gate. You know, I see 25 punch outs and 56 at bats. And Kelenic, the same thing, 22 and 52. That's a little bit of a caution sign for me. We got to get to a two strike. We talked about it last week. Have that two strike approach. Know the situation and know I got to touch this ball. It's not okay to keep going back, but he's going to learn this over time. You know, he's going to learn this over time. Definitely a talented kid. And when you see something like that, Softy, I don't take that lightly. When you have that big situation, bases loaded, young player, off to a slow start, we have a tendency to go to the plate and put all the pressure on ourselves. I got to do something big here. I got to get a big hit with the bases loaded. I'm off to a slow start. To have the discipline to work the count and to get that walk in that situation, it's a sign of maturity. It's a small thing, but it's something right now that was a big moment for
him. Well, Booney, you talk about getting the bat on the ball and just staying alive with two strikes. How about what Jess Winker was able to do Sunday? Bottom of the 10th, double-digit pitch at bat, gets the sac fly, another double-digit pitch at bat, and then he gets the single to right because he's had some really bad luck over the last couple of weeks.
He has, and I've said from the beginning, I love the Winker kid. I love his approach. That swing over time will work, and he's taking his walks. You know, he's .338 on base, even though he's hitting .150. Sometimes a veteran player that knows he's a lot better hitter than what the numbers are saying on the Jumbotron, when they get something small like that, And I don't want to say small. That was a big hit in a big situation. But you need something to say, finally, something's going my way. That might be the jump start he needed.
Well, a lot of folks like to nitpick. There's no question. And in some ways, it's part of being a baseball fan. But a lot of folks have mentioned that, hey, Robbie Ray's velocity looks off versus what it was a year ago. Is that something that you notice, or do you just scoff at stuff like that?
I scoff at stuff like that. There's too much weight of the radar gun and numbers and exit velo. The bottom line is results. Wins and losses and keeping your ERA down. Robbie Ray's fine. He's at the top of that rotation, coming off a big year. Maybe his velocity's down. A lot of things happen early in a season. Weather, just anything. How his body's feeling. The fact is he's gone out there. He's been competitive. He's good. He's the leader of that pitch and stuff. I don't worry about velocity. Now, if you're getting your brains beat in and you got a 9 ERA right now and your velocity's down, now we'll talk about it. Bottom line is results.
I love it. A living legend, baby. Every Thursday, typically, without the draft on the radio show.
Courtesy. We got the draft this year.
We got the draft. Well, we have the draft every year, but it just happens to fall, obviously, on the day that you agreed to do the radio program. So we could do it Thursday, but nobody would be listening, as opposed to today when the audience is gigantic. So
the huge, right. We need the gigantic audience.
Great stuff. You got your podcast out. Panero's on. Joel Panero, Mitch Haniger, all courtesy of DraftKings. So check it out anywhere you get your podcast. Brett, great stuff, and we'll talk in a week, man.
All right, guys. Thank you.
You got it. Brett Boone with us on the program. We'll get a break. We got a lot more to get to, including our softy Dickie Feltsy mini mock. We're going to run all the way through the first eight picks before the Hawks pick at number 9, and we'll wrap that up at 4:10 with Paul Dottino from the Giants and John Michaels from the Falcons coming up on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM.
Now back to Softy and Dick on Seattle's Sports Leader, Sports Radio 93.3, KJR FM.
Hey, we got some breaking news here on the radio show. Huh? Huh? Not very often you get actual breaking news on the air. Well, we have it. The former president of the University of Washington and the current president of the NCAA, Mark Emmert, after 12 years on the job, announcing he will step down no later than June of 2023. How many people have been waiting for this moment for Mark Emmert to step down as the president of the NCAA? Because I'm surprised he lasted this long, to be totally honest with you.
Well, there's one slight problem. The NCAA doesn't have any power anymore, so it doesn't really matter all that much.
Well,
it would have if it happened 5 years ago. It would have been a huge story.
Yeah, I think it does matter. Because I think as long as there's an NCAA, there's a possibility for somebody to have some influence, right? What that is, I don't know. I mean, I agree with you. I think the NCAA, I think of the NCAA. And the first thing I think of is oversight, rule enforcement. And there's really no rules to enforce right now, right? Yes. I mean, the NCAA sets the rules, and then they enforce them. And nobody's enforcing jack squat right now when it comes to college sports. Obviously, there are certain things, sponsorship, advertising dollars, marketing revenue, TV revenue, things like that, that still can be done by a president. But I do think that it's time for fresh blood. There's no question about it. You know, I love it when people say things like, I hate to do but ... and then do the exact thing they said they hate doing, and I'm going to do it right now. I hate to pull the age card, but it's time for somebody younger. It's time for somebody who can relate to the next generation of athletes and relate to the next generation of executives. And I think everybody has their run. Everybody has their time in the spotlight. And for Mark Emmert, it has come to an end. I mean, look, he was always great to me when he was the president at UW, but that's irrelevant. What he's done for the NCAA has been minimal at best as far as an accomplishment scale. So I think it is time for somebody young, somebody fresh, somebody with some ideas, somebody who gets the NIL landscape, and really somebody who has the respect of the president around America, and also in some ways the next generation of athletes that can kind of corral this thing and stop it from being totally out of control.
Well, the conference commissioners, I think, are even more important than the presidents around America, right? I mean, the conference commissioners have got to buy into this guy, or else he's just going to be a puppet for him, right?
Yeah.
Jack Swarbrick has already come out and said this. I want to talk to Wilner about this. He said by the mid-2030s, Division I college football is going to, the conferences are going to crumble.
Right.
It's just going to be one big entity. So somebody's going to need to run it.
I always think the presidents are the most important thing, always, in front of anybody, because they're the ones that hire the commissioners, for God's sake. So I think they are the ones, and we can talk to John about this if you want at 5 o'clock, that they are the ones that really always kind of pull the strings. I mean, look, you know, they're the ones that in some ways decide who the damn president of the NCAA is going to be. the presidents of all these schools. So I think it's a good thing. I generally agree with what Jack said, that I think college football as an entity is going to look a lot different in the next maybe decade or so. I think what a lot of people have been asking, Dick, is for college football to trim itself down. There's no need for 120 Division I college football teams because 80 of them have no shot, if That's not right. more than that, of winning a championship. So why not just form a super league? Why not? I mean, hell, you could form four leagues if you want, literally, mm-hmm. with all the teams in Division I football. I mean, college basketball is different, obviously, because you have a 68-team tournament. But until you have a 68-team tournament, which is impossible in football, I think there's way too many teams, and there's going to be a lot of people that will take this, you know, the way they want. But should Oregon State and Washington State really be in the same conference with a team in Los Angeles? Should Corvallis and Pullman, Washington, really be in the same league with a team from L.A., the number two market in the damn country, right? And with NIL now totally changing the landscape, if those teams aren't going to be able to compete for this and actually challenge for a championship, then why not blow the whole thing up and just move on?
I've been for that for a long time now, the Super League, whether it be 28 teams, 32 teams, 36 teams, what have you. That's all there are really in college football that can compete for a national championship. In fact, that number's probably high. There's probably right now only 16 right. teams that can really challenge for a national championship. But make it a situation, I mean, Jackson knows it far better than I do, make it a situation where if you show for a long period of time that you can raise the revenue, let's say you're in Division II, let's say there's a Division I of 32 teams, there's a Division II of 32 teams, and you're not cutting it in Division I, you can get relegated.
And if you
show in Division II that you're capable of competing at the Division I level, you get promoted. Isn't that kind of what it works?
That would be great.
Yeah, but the difference, though, when it comes to college football is that you're talking about a bunch of 18, 19-year-olds that might be fighting their ass off, and they might have an injury or something, or they might have teammates that don't bring the same intensity they do. Normally, when teams get relegated, it's because they're just not putting forth the support from the ownership group. Would you say that's a big part of it?
Yeah, somewhat, soccer? But I would also say that teams who have major injuries also do get relegated.
It happens. I mean, I don't know. I think I don't like that idea. I understand what you're saying. You know, there's obviously,
but I don't want teams to be forever trapped.
Right.
Let's say it's Wazoo, right? Let's say Wazoo goes to Division
II.
They never have a chance to win the Division I championship. But if they say, you know what, we really want to commit more than we've ever committed before. We want to get it to Division I in the top 32. We should have an opportunity to do that.
But why then would I care as a fan if my team is in, let's say there's four divisions, right? Like, so they take, I'm just throwing numbers at it. They take all 120 college football teams and they make four 30-team divisions. And then I'm playing in this division and I'm doing okay. And then all of a sudden I'm not, and I'm relegated. Why should the fans even give a damn at that point? Why would I care if my team got demoted to the next season? All of a sudden I'm playing for a Rose Bowl, or I'm playing for a national championship at the highest level of college football, and then the next year you come back to me as a fan and you want me to get excited about this Tier 2 title. That wouldn't do it for me. I'd be like, well, screw this. That wouldn't make me – and would that excite you? If your team got demoted?
Well, if my team in this 30-team, and this would be a long period of time where they don't perform. If my team in this 32-team division is consistently 2-10, and you've got 6, 8, 10 teams in the bottom division that everybody in America is on Twitter going, this team would kick the crap out of Washington. Washington's going 2-10 every single year in this top tier.
Yeah.
We got it, and you have an opportunity to flip.
Yeah. Well,
you want the
know.
Best teams up there.
No, I mean, I guess. I'm just talking about each individual fan base. I mean, whatever. I just think it's time for new blood in college football. I mean, whatever ideas anybody has are great, and there's going to be a lot of ideas kicked around. There's no question about that. It's just time for somebody new to inject some life into this thing and start doing things different, right? Like, they move at a snail's pace. They need somebody who can convince people to go a little faster and keep up with the times. And the NIL thing is obviously a gigantic problem right now for college football. I think it's turning a lot of people off to the game.
No question.
On both sides, college basketball and college football. So we'll see. All right, 3:54. We'll have our Softy Dickie Feltsy mini mock coming up next. We'll get through pick number 8 and find out what's happening, at least in our mock world, before the Hawks pick at number 9. We'll do that next on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM.